Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 23.
Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 to 23. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. Brought along a little friend this morning. Did you notice the phrase in our reading today? The eyes of our heart. Brought along a little heart, a friend of mine gave me a few years ago, and I'm going to just talk a little bit about the eyes of our heart. Did you know that your heart has eyes? It must do, mustn't it? Because the Bible says so. If you notice in that prayer, Paul was praying for the readers of his letter who were in a region of the world focused on a city called Ephesus. Paul himself was in prison at the time. He refers to himself in this book of Ephesians as a prisoner of the Lord. And in chapter 6, he calls himself an ambassador in chains. So Paul is in a prison cell. He's got some liberty. He is able to write, clearly. He's able to dictate, and someone is able to write down what he's saying and take it out to the church. And Frank introduced the first half of chapter 1 last week. And did a grand job in picking out some of the key themes, things that God has done for us, and called us and predestined us and forgiven us and redeemed us and given us an inheritance. And Paul gets carried away with his praise and worship. And then in verse 15 he says, I've heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus you've got, and I heard of your love for the saints, in other words, for the rest of God's people. I don't stop giving thanks for you, and I'm praying for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So he's saying that we've got a heart, the heart has eyes, and the eyes of the heart can be enlightened. And that God wants to enlighten the eyes of our heart. And we can pray for each other that our eyes will be enlightened. So I can pray that God will enlighten the eyes of all your spiritual hearts. And you can pray that God will enlighten the eyes of my spiritual heart. And that's all very good and scriptural. And the consequence of those opening of the eyes or lightening of the eyes that we'll talk about is, number one, so that we'll know what is the hope of his calling, so we'll understand our destiny, what God has called us to be and do. Number two, we'll understand what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's a bit of a long phrase. There's something that needs to be inherited. And we are the heirs. And we've already got the down payment, the guarantee, the deposit, in verse 14. Holy Spirit has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of the whole thing. So God's put in our hearts his Holy Spirit. So there's a clue about what God's doing in our hearts. He puts his Holy Spirit in our hearts. And there's an inheritance which we're going to come into fully. But this word inheritance is doubly wonderful because we are God's inheritance. We get our heads around that. God, the Father, and Jesus are going to ultimately inherit a beautiful treasure. And that is us, their sons and daughters. Isn't that extraordinary? He regards us as a treasure, as something worth waiting for, something he's paid an enormous price for, something that he's focusing on, and he wants us to know it. So opening the eyes of our heart helps us to realize that we are part of God's inheritance. So that gives us a sense of value, doesn't it? Meaning, significance, worth, importance. It's all us together. It's not just about an individual thing, it's what we are together. And our hearts actually need to be, and they are, working with one another. Do you know, my heart is sending messages out to your hearts. Your hearts are sending messages out to each other's hearts at the moment. You might not have realised that, but we communicate with our hearts. Science is validating now what cultures have known for thousands of years. Pascal said, the heart has reasons that the mind knows nothing about. The heart has reasons that reason knows nothing about. Is that? Can you hear me there? I drop at the end of a sentence. I'll try to stop dropping at the end of sentences. So here we are. God's given us a heart. There's a lovely quote in the book The Little Prince by Antoine Saint-Exupéry, which says something like, let's see if we can find that. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Now, we may have been taught that actually the heart is just a pump. And what I'm going to talk about is how the physical heart and the spiritual heart, or the metaphorical heart, the thing that God talks about 900 times in the Bible, talks about the heart, more often than the mind. God has given us a physical heart as a, it's not only a metaphor, it's actually a way of embodying spiritual truth. Because here's a thing that's quite staggering. If you cultivate an attitude of appreciation and worship, your heart tends to adopt a certain rhythm.
Physical heart.
Your physical heart adopts a certain rhythm. Because it's such a powerful thing inside the body beating, it sends information to the whole body, including the brain, and extraordinarily recently discovered that kind of heartbeat, which is the result of focusing on gratitude and appreciation and compassion and love, hint the fruit of the spirit, actually changes the parts of the brain that enable us to see. It actually has an impact on the visual cortex. For those of you with a scientific background, those cells in the complex part of the brain that we kind of use to gather and integrate information and make sense of it and think about it, that bit of the brain, that is influenced by the messages coming up from the heart. The heart sends about 10 times as many messages to the brain as the brain does to the heart. The physical heart also sees, and this is quite extraordinary. Physical heart sees. Here's a clue. Someone who's had a heart transplant from someone else. It's verified in scientific literature. The person who's received a heart transplant becomes aware of a whole new set of memories of things that they can see and feel. And preferences. Or even passions, even addictions. And in more than one case, this is a little bit scary, the person who received the heart had images of a certain person. And when the police investigated, they discovered that actually that person had been the murderer of the person who gave the heart transplant. And actually that led to his conviction. So here's a physical organ which has wonderful capacities which God has put in it, taken us thousands of years to discover how the physical heart is very much tied up with our spiritual heart. So our physical heart remembers. Physical heart perceives, it sees. More experiments show that when people were shown images on a computer screen, randomly generated, of things that were wonderful, like beautiful images of love and art and so on, and things that were disturbing and frightening, there was a reaction in the heart earlier than the reaction in the brain. So when God talks about guarding our heart, Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart are the issues of life. Not just talking about adjust your diet and keep physically active, which are both important. Actually, he's talking about guard what comes into the gate of your heart. In other words, what we choose to think about, what we choose to see, what we choose to focus on, even what we choose to remember. So just place your hand roughly on your heart, if you would, and just become aware of what a wonderful organ this is. Do you know the heart develops before the brain? The heart is beating long before there's any brain to tell it to beat. It's amazing. Some of you may feel your heart. You may feel your heartbeat. And some of you not. You can if you put your fingers at the base of your thumb, you can feel your pulse, and that just reminding you each time your heart is beating. And I go through a spiritual discipline quite often of imagining every time I breathe in, I'm breathing in God's love into my heart. And that is an excellent, excellent discipline. I spent 3 hours yesterday and 3 hours on Friday on trains to and from London and round the underground, visiting various friends and relatives. And I had with me books all about the heart, and I was constantly, as I was reading them, I was enjoying breathing in God's presence, God's love, God's acceptance into my heart. The heart goes up and down with every breath, you know. If you take a big breath, your diaphragm moves down as your lungs expand, and your heart is sitting on the diaphragm. The heart is actually moving around. And yeah, there's lots of interesting stuff there. So I want to look a little bit about what the Bible says about the eyes of our heart. I thought there must be more if the Bible is saying our heart's got eyes. And it's very nice, isn't it, when science and the Bible appear to back each other up. It's good when science can gradually adjust itself to be closer and closer to the truth of the scripture, and not the other way round. We shouldn't try and adjust what we think the Bible is saying to make it tie in with current fashions in science, because fashions in science are changing all the time. And some things are discovered to be more true, and some things are discovered to be less true. But what God says in his word is always true and always has been. So, Paul, this book of Ephesians is kind of the climax of his thought. Those of you who have studied different books in the Bible, this is
thought to be the last one of the books that we have recorded by Paul, where he puts together the essence of life. And the first half of the book of Ephesians is about God's cosmic plan, God's cosmic purpose, the big picture. God's got this huge, wonderful destiny for the universe, all based on his son Jesus. And it includes us. And when we're in relationship with Jesus, we are part of that cosmic plan. We are not tiny little bits of dust crawling about on an insignificant planet, you know, trivial galaxy, revolving around a medium-sized sun. You see, physically, it's not about size. Significance is about relationship. If we're related to the infinitely wonderful God, that is special. That's our destiny, and that's what started. I mark my Bible every time I come across the word heart. I have a colour scheme for my Bible. This Bible I've had since I was 18. So it's at least 3 years old. And you see in the margin, whenever the word heart comes, I put a red heart. So I've got over 900 of these. And I can do an instant Bible study on the subject of heart. So Ephesians has got 8 or 9 references to the heart. Immediately we can talk about the healthy heart and the unhealthy heart. So in Ephesians, the healthy heart is being enlightened by God progressively, because the eyes of the heart are being enlightened. We're doing God's will from the heart in chapter 6, verse 6. We're sincerely serving from the heart, chapter 6, verse 5. Here's a nice one that Susan especially would like. We make melody in our hearts to the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19. And it's about relationship too, because right at the end of Ephesians, there's talks about receiving comfort in our hearts. There's this friend called Tychicus, who Paul is sending to the Ephesians. And when he comes, he's going to comfort their hearts. So our hearts can receive comfort from one another. And don't we know it so well? And in 4 verse 32, there's a reference, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So there's a tenderness of heart that God encourages us, which involves being kind and forgiving one another. Tender heart. So there's a quick health test for your heart. How is your singing? Are you singing from the heart to the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all your heart? Are you being tender with other people in your heart? Are you increasingly learning how to see things from the heart rather than just with your physical eyes? That's a challenge. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So there's this challenge, there's this promise, there's this invitation that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened. There's another verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, which says, God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness at the creation, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And in Ephesians 5:8, it says, walk as children of light. So we need to cultivate this consciousness, actually, that we are children of light. God has filled us with his light, and we can choose to live in light or live in darkness. And light is about openness, truth, saying the truth, being transparent and honest. Darkness is about doing things that we would rather other people didn't know about, deceiving other people, turning our back on the light so that we're living in the shadow. And the purpose of me standing here today is not to make us feel condemned because we're not walking in enough light, but to encourage us all to turn to the light, to walk in the light. Our hearts are very good at condemning us. In 1 John, he talks about our hearts may condemn us. In other words, our conscience. The heart in Scripture is sometimes described as something that sort of accuses us and makes us feel bad. We know we've done something bad, and our heart makes us feel bad about it and about ourselves. And the Bible says God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And therefore, we can turn to him and accept
his forgiveness and the truth of his forgiveness. So walk in light. The results of enlightenment, we would understand our calling, we'd understand our inheritance, not only what we have now, but what's coming. And the third thing it talks about, we would understand his power. We would appreciate the greatness of his power, because the power that's working in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's a real challenge for me. I don't feel particularly powerful. I don't know how powerful you feel as a Christian. But you know, it's not about power. I just want to rehearse those testimonies that we had this morning. Now, you'll have to help me to remember. Different people gave a different testimony. And in every one of those cases, there's something about the eyes of the heart. So who gave a testimony first? Christine did. It was about a taxi driver, and it was about seeing an opportunity to talk to him about the Lord. So you saw the taxi driver, he's not just someone who's going to take you from A to B, but you see and you perceive in your heart, here's an opportunity to share something. And so you did. A blessing. Yeah. Now, who else had a testimony? Joy, you said something. How does this relate to the eyes of the heart?
Well, it was just reading Psalm 3, and I just saw something in it that I'd not really seen before, about he is my glory and that he lifts up my head. You know, I've been struggling to lift myself up, and then he showed me that he's the one that lifts me up.
Yes, and you saw something as you were meditating on scripture and seeing what scripture is. And that is one of the keys that I wrote down. Reflect and meditate. Psalm 4. Meditate in your heart upon your bed. Proverbs 24. When I saw the neglected field of a sluggard. Think about my own garden here. I set my heart upon it. I looked and I received instruction. So that's interesting. We're invited to set our heart upon things that we notice as we walk about and receive instruction. As if instruction comes into the heart, which it does. If you learn something by heart, you know it well.
Yeah.
And by the way, where's the real you? If you point with your index finger, where's the real you?
Oh, goodness.
The real you. Yeah. People don't usually say the real me, do they?
No.
They say the real me. Or sometimes they might point to their belly. I'm not insulting the belly, but the gut. The gut is also used in the Bible about our feelings and our real person.
And our strength.
And our strength. The heart, what neuroscientists are discovering is that there's a brain inside the head. Now, most of us have known that for quite a while, although some of it doesn't work very well. There's a brain in the heart. There's a set of nerves in the heart which actually is intelligent. And there's a brain in the gut. And that's why that the drugs that work on your brain give you side effects on your gut. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh, yes.
And most of the serotonin, the chemical that antidepressants try and put right, is made in the gut. The receptors for it are in the gut. So everything is connected. And the scriptures talk about our guts. They talk about our kidneys too. I think I mentioned this before. Every organ has a great function in the body, and it's also a metaphor for something spiritual. And it's just wonderful. I spent my life studying the physical body, and in parallel I study the spiritual body as well, and try and find important things. So actually focusing on the Bible is very good. Thy word I've treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. So where do we treasure God's word? In our heart. So we read it not for the purpose of just understanding it, but drawing it into our heart, and sensing the importance and the wonderfulness of it. Here, William Blake, to see the world in a grain of sand, and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. as you like, poetry. In other words, we can choose to see significance in anything. And the glory of being human is to choose the significance that we attach to things. If I choose to see my patients as just nuisances who take up my time, that determines how I see them, how I experience them. If I see each one as a special divine appointment, someone who has got something that I need to connect with, made in the image of God, struggling with their own issues, and I'm there to just be an encourager or someone who touches them, the only person who's touched them this week, or someone who smiles, or someone who validates them as a person. I'm choosing to make them significant. The scriptures talk a lot about the imagination of our heart. The conference that Frank was talking about, the P word, people who are trapped by watching things that are addictive and harmful and develop cravings. There is healing. That's so important. There is healing for this. So, more and more about the heart. Well, I must wind up because
I've probably said more than enough already. Here's the encouragement. God has given us hearts primarily for the purpose of relationships. Yes, it pumps blood through our body, but actually the heart is the link, in a sense, between the spiritual world and the physical world and the mental world. And that's a huge concept to think about. But God has given us the physical heart to remind us and to kind of be a physical expression of the fact that he is constantly offering us blessing, he is constantly pouring his blessing into us. It actually comes into us through the realm of the heart, both spiritually and physically. We can choose to nurture and live as though it's true. And we can choose, in particular, what we focus on, the eyes of our heart, what we choose to see. So we can practice seeing what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. Proverbs says, bright eyes gladden the heart. That's an interesting verse, Proverbs 15, verse 30. In other words, if we cultivate always looking for something which is going to make us cheerful, or something which is beautiful, actually that's having a good effect on our heart, physically and spiritually, the whole body. And Jesus said, the light of the whole body is the eye. If your eye is single, in other words, focused in one direction, in other words, looking for God, for God's glory, for God's opportunity, for something that God's doing, like Jesus was, what's the Father doing, he was always looking then your whole body will be full of light, your whole body will benefit, your heart and the whole part, our health will be good. And looking up, we had the thing about looking up today. At least I picked up that, something that Joy was saying. Here's the thing. I've told you this story before. The therapist with a depressed patient, he told him to go on a walk and count the chimney tops, the chimneys on the top of the roofs as he went along. That's all he told him to do. Go for a walk and count the number of chimneys that you see. And when he came back, his depression had lightened enormously. Why? Because he was literally, physically looking up. Interesting. And of course we know, don't we, seasonal affective disorder, that form of depression, form of low mood, which comes when the days are short and when we're living in dark places. And the treatment is light. Get out into the light. Put your working environment closer to a window. Invest in full spectrum lighting if you can, etc. Enjoy the light and the sunshine. Good for your heart. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes so that I may see wonderful things out of your word. So, wonderful things here. We can ask God to open our eyes as we read. So I'm going to stop here. Oh, one final one. Do you remember Jesus told us one thing that can stop us from seeing God well? He told a story about a log and a little bit of dust.
Yeah.
We can be so wanting to make sure that other people see more clearly, understand things like we do. And actually, we've got a plank in our own eye, and we're trying to help someone who's got a little bit of dust in their eye. The answer is we need a little bit of self-examination to see what the plank may be in our own life, in our own eye, before we venture to criticise what other people may be seeing or saying. So I just wanted to throw that one in. But let's pray. I want to give a prayer that we can respond to quietly.